Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
So we're sitting here tonight with Dean Lombardi, who is the general manager of the Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings. He just finished speaking at the National Hockey Coaches Symposium here in Las Vegas. Dean, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
I just wanted to get some of your thoughts. You know, you have about 450 coaches in that room. Just your thoughts on speaking to them tonight, to being around all those grassroots level coaches.
Yeah, no, that's what struck me. It's the first time I've been to something like this, and I had no idea it was, you know, the numbers and how well organized and the passion in there. And I thought it was interesting too to talk to JJ before about that we're the only sport essentially doing this. And it's great that we're setting our own path with the Big Four. So, but that's and you can tell all those guys are into it too. That's, you know, to come here for 4 days on their own dollar like that, these guys are pretty committed. And in the end, they're the ones that are most important, because they're the ones that are going to develop the players.
So. I was wondering if growing up in Massachusetts, if there's any coaches that really stand out to you that really influenced you and helped get you on the path towards hockey?
The youngest guy was, actually I brought the Stanley Cup home to him the first time. A guy named Tony Costa was a classic case. Wasn't that he was a great coach, but this is you're 7-8 years old, drove the bus, and back then you played on ponds and shoveled, and he was just unbelievable. But then as far as learning the game, I played for Gary Denine. That was my first indoctrination to like hockey, and I guess playing the right way and being exposed to a person who really knew what the people in here are learning. So if I had to cite two, it's probably the one that you just admired because of the time he donated, and then the other one was clearly a top player and a heck of a coach.
Coming to an event like this, I mean, I know you do a lot of things with USA Hockey. What is it about USA Hockey that you like to, be involved with so much?
I like to be involved because I'm an American. Mm-hmm. And you take pride in, I never got a chance to serve my country. And like I said, a number of people in my family went to Vietnam and did those things. And it's the smallest thing you can do, in terms of at least contributing your time to your colors. So, I mean, that's what excites me the most, is just you're doing something for your country. That's the bottom line.
You're also involved with our advisory board committee, a group of general managers. That must be pretty satisfying to be able to work with other.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really good experience. I mean, you got 7-8 great hockey minds in there, and what I like about where we are now is we're there to win. It's very different than I think it might have been 20 years ago, where I think we were okay with accepting a good showing. But it's very clear now at all levels, the World Junior Tournament and, just being in Lake Placid this couple weeks ago, we're there to win these things now. So that's, it's a tribute to Jimmy and all the guys who work at USA Hockey, because it goes back to what I talked to tonight. It's a culture that's now coming in, and as Americans expect to win. Wasn't always that way.
Speaking of winning cultures, you've created quite a winning culture in Los Angeles. Can you just talk a little bit about how that's not only helping, it's helping to with the kids and to grow hockey in places like Southern California?
Well, it's unbelievable around that rink now. And, there was a pretty strong base there anyway, but it's funny you bring it up because Luke and some other guys are already talking again about another ice sheet and building another rink. So we just can't hold all the people that are coming through there or the rinks around them. And now, like I say, you get good players now going to Division I schools from there, going playing in the Western League. It started with Gretzky, but now I think this group of players that have come in. The neat thing about this team, it's won the last two Cups. It's amazing how people can identify with them. They're not rock stars. They're easily identifiable with the blue collar and the average Joe because of the way they conduct themselves. And I think that's had an enormous appeal with a lot of these people. And but it's getting another big time burst, that maybe even bigger than the last one.
Speaking of blue collar players. You've got one of the best captains in the NHL and Dustin Brown. Can you just talk a little bit about what he brings to the table, in addition obviously being a great player, but just a great leader?
Yeah, I mean, that's, the talent across the league is so even. It's really difficult, to distinguish teams. Okay, maybe there's three layers, okay, where you can, but those you go into season, there's 10 teams that can win the Cup easily, where maybe in the old days you say 2, 3, 4, maybe it's even bigger than 10. But so when you get in that bracket and it's so close, it's going to come down to your team's character and the culture, and those intangibles are hard to define, and that starts with your captain. But it's not only one guy, I need but the first Italian. It takes more than one, but he's certainly part of that posse.
You know, it must be very difficult in your position to you win a Stanley Cup and then to try to keep that nucleus together. I mean, it must be a huge challenge.
Yeah, it's I guess that's one of the frustrating things at times, that the adapting to the new system, where a system's basically designed to insist on parity. So it almost penalizes those teams that have worked hard to be special, and you got to give it away, So I guess it's almost sports' version of socialism, but that's part of, that's part of the game right now. So now your young players become critical in terms of being able to bring them through the system. And the plan, we've been very fortunate. We brought back our whole team the first time, and we brought back every player but one this time. So part of it does come into planning and making good decisions early. But then again, you didn't have to be a genius to figure out that Drew Doughty was a special player, so pay him early. So we've been very fortunate. But it never ends. We see Jonathan Taves get 10.5, so that's the next standard. And that, but that's the way it is.
Somebody had asked you a question at the end of your speech tonight about skill development at the NHL level. One of our youth hockey guys wanted me to ask you about what would you recommend or suggest to youth hockey coaches out there to help prepare a guy to get to your level?
Well, it's kind of everything that I was, define the skills, but and break it down into as fine a detail as you can, and then design drills to fit those minute skills. But then you come down to, then it's the coaching element of, having the time, the meaningful repetitions. There's so much involved in development, which I think why you're seeing people are realizing that there's a lot more work that can be done here than just your classic, here's how you stick in, and here's how you skate. Mm-hmm. And I clearly see us headed that way, as I mentioned up there with football, where we are breaking down these skills now and teaching them and putting drills in there and then creating this, complete player. So, and that's where I think, too, you see these guys that are actually having fun because they're being creative. Mm-hmm. And then now, like on our team, I mentioned Blake and O'Connell and Nelson Emerson, Mike Donnelly was a former Great Call. All these guys, they're really proud, of what they've done, and they should be. And these guys did a tremendous amount of work. But like I said, when you put a bunch of hockey people in a room, you'd be amazed what starts coming out when they start thinking about it. And that's, I don't want to give away too much here right now, because we're trying to win, but for you, for Jimmy, I will.
Well, then the last thing I just wanted to ask about, you also mentioned about how the economics play into it, and hockey is an expensive sport, especially at the young level.
Yeah.
Do you think that people are trying to push kids too fast, too far?
I don't know. It bugs me, because I know in my state right now that Massachusetts used to be one of the powerhouse states with Minnesota and Michigan, and we got nothing. And I do believe a big part of it is the money. And most of I know I couldn't have played as a kid, given these things now. I think, as Jimmy told me today, that part of it too is there's no clear path, so that's a whole other issue. But I do struggle with the idea when I see a guy have to go spend $800 for a pair of skates and $300 for a stick. It just, but I don't know what you do about it. On the other hand, we're clearly producing players, but it just scares you a little, and because you've got to be siphoning off some athletes that don't have the wherewithal that could be pretty good hockey players. And I don't know what you do about it. I really don't. But certainly at our level, you know, we're still getting good players, that's for sure.
So. I mean, and a lot of good American players.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's and Americans from Florida and California and everywhere now. So it's amazing. You know, so it's actually a lot easier to scout in the old days. You want to go to Minnesota, Michigan, and Massachusetts now. We're ready to go anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, once again, thank you very much, Dean, for taking the time. I know it's been a long night, and appreciate you taking the time and speaking to everybody tonight.
Anytime. All right. Just make sure you tell me there's 500 people in the room next time.
And thanks everybody for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Mark Burns. Be sure to follow us at usahockeymagazine.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.